Okay, Ian Trottier here. We've got Discussion to Truth, U.S. Air Force Major Tom Haviland. Now, Tom, you've got a vial in your hand, and in that vial is a fibrosis, a white fibrosis. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, the embalmers that have been pulling this out of the bodies for the last 3 years describe them as white fibrous clots or white fibrous structures. They're not really a typical blood, a typical blood clot is actually made out of blood and blocks the veins or arteries. These, however, some analysis has been done by Mike Adams, a health ranger,
yeah.
And they contain very little iron, magnesium, or potassium, so they're not blood coagulating. These look white, and Dr. Ryan Cole has looked at these things under a microscope and determined that they're made of basically three things: fibrin, which is already in our body. We have fibrinogen in a liquid form that converts to fibrin, a solid form, and it's white in color. Also platelets, which are also in our blood. They're colorless. And then this very strange amyloid, or amyloid-like material. Amyloid is spelled A-M-Y-L-O-I-D, and it's just a fancy term for a misshaped or misfolded protein. So that's what Ryan Cole believes these are made of. But the strange thing is embalmers only started seeing these things back in 2021 after a certain medical intervention came around.
Yeah, sure.
So it's very unusual. So
it's known commonly as the vax.
Yeah.
There are two axes on it. Right?
Exactly. I watched
COVID-19
that.
COVID-19 vax.
I watched that film Died Suddenly a couple of years ago when it came out. It came out the week of Thanksgiving of 2022. And in that movie, there's about six or seven embalmers that said they were seeing these strange white fibrous clots in their corpses. And they said this all started for them in the year 2021. So I wasn't sure whether they were a bunch of kooks or not. So I'm a retired Air Force guy. I decided to do a worldwide embalmer blood clot survey to determine, is this a real phenomenon or not, right? So I came up with a survey in SurveyMonkey. You can use it conducted.
Yeah.
Very simple to take. Last year's survey was 7 questions. This year's survey was 12 questions. I kept the survey as unbiased as possible. In the survey questions, nor in the survey instructions, do I ever mention the words COVID or COVID vaccine. I only ask the embalmers, what did you see, when did you see it, and how much are you seeing? So very standard questions that embalmers could easily answer. And I sent that using a two-pronged approach to Ian. I sent it to over 1,700 funeral homes around the world directly. I got their email addresses and sent it to funeral homes in the United States, Canada, UK, Australia, and New Zealand. I also then sent it using a top-down approach to over 50 national, regional, and state funeral director associations around the world, each of those with hundreds of member funeral directors or embalmers underneath them, asking them to distribute the survey to their active embalmers. Well, this year's survey, I got 269 responses to this year's survey, Ian, and of those, 197 of the embalmers, 73%, are still seeing these white fibrous clots in their corpses in the year 2023. So it's very alarming. Next question I
have. How many injections have these corpses had? Is there any record of that?
No, because embalmers don't typically have contact with the family of the deceased, so they cannot ask the family whether the person was jabbed
medical
or not.
Records.
Yeah. However, there are some funeral directors who are also embalmers themselves. One of them's in the Died Suddenly movie. And she says every time she finds these white fibrous clots in her corpses, she'll go and ask the family, did your loved one happen to take the vaccine? And she says 100% of the time, Ian, without fail, the answer is yes. So I know that's anecdotal, but it's a shocking thing to discover, right? By the way, the embalmers believe that these clots are forming before death. There's been some speculation as to whether they're forming before death, after death, or both. They might be forming after both. But the embalmers are finding these in corpses that are only an hour or two old. So they've not been refrigerated. They're very fresh. And they're still finding them riddled with these clots. So the embalmers that I've talked to are convinced that they're forming prior to death and could be the cause of heart attacks and strokes, obviously, if they block off your veins or arteries.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because another thing that was unusual about this is embalmers have been finding clots for years, typical blood clots. They're called grape jelly clots, and they look like grape jelly, and they dissolve easily in their hands. They've also been seeing forever something called chicken fat clot. They're yellowish in color, they're smaller, and they tear very easily. Much different than these white fibrous clots. They're much larger, longer, tougher, they're elastic, they're hard to break. So it's a strange phenomenon that's been going on for the last 3 years.
How much of this here in this vial, how much of that is found in the body? Would that be one example of...
Yeah, embalmers will sometimes find one or two of these in a body, and they can be typically up to maybe 4-10 inches long. They have found these in people up to 2 feet long. They've been pulled out of living people as well. That's another reason we know that they exist prior to death. There have been people that have had these pulled out of them that have survived. So it's a very serious issue. And in addition to this, we also asked the embalmers this year about another phenomenon called microclotting. And the embalmers, they don't describe it as that. They describe it as what looks like coffee grounds or dirty blood coming off the corpses. They're trying to get the formaldehyde in and the blood draining off the corpse. They see what looks like coffee grounds. And that's an evidence of a phenomenon called microclotting. And that could be just as dangerous as these white fibrous clots, because it occurs at the capillary level, your very small blood vessels, at the lungs, you know, so it impedes the exchange of oxygen at the lungs, and then the carrying of that oxygen to all the major organs of the body, including the brain, you know, your eyes, you have very small capillaries in your eyes. So it's just as serious as the white fibrous clots. The embalmers in my recent survey are saying that microclotting is occurring. By the way, 80%, 79% of the embalmers said they saw the microclotting in 2023. And they're seeing it in an average of about 25% of the corpses. So every 1 out of 4 corpses has the microclotting in them. Combined with the 20% of bodies that are seen with the white fibrous clots, they're also seeing an increase of about 33% in the traditional grape jelly clots. So we have a major issue on our hands, right? We're seeing clotting of all types going on in all different ages, by the way. One of the other things we asked in this year's survey is about age stratification. We wanted to see what age groups these things are hitting. They're most prominent in ages 36 years old and up, especially the elderly. But the number of embalmers that said the 36 to 50-year-old group was alarmingly long. And you don't think about 36 to 50-year-olds having strokes and heart attacks at that age, do you?
No,
you know, usually it's somebody in their late 50s, early 60s when you start to see that phenomenon. But now we're seeing a lot of people dying suddenly in their late 30s, early 40s. And it dovetails, by the way, very closely to the insurance data work that Edward Dowd's been looking at. He's been looking at death and disability data from both the United States and the UK for the last several years. And Edward Dowd saw an explosion of death and disability in the 36 to 50-year-old age group starting in the third quarter of 2021, which just happens to be the time that all the vaccines were mandated on a large working percentage of the working population of the United States. You know, Joe Biden obviously put the mandates on the military, government, civilians, and defense contractors, but a large percentage, he tried to remember, put that mandate on any company with more than 100 employees. And a lot that finally did get shot down by the Supreme Court. But before that, a lot of companies went ahead and preemptively made their employees get the jabs anyways in the third quarter of 2021. And that's when Dowd saw the explosion of the insurance, disability, and death data. And that's when embalmers saw an explosion in these white fibrous clots showing up in their corpses.
Okay, how did you get involved in this?
I got involved because I was working as a defense contractor at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio. And in the fall of 2021, I was required to get the shot or else lose my job. So I decided to quit rather than take the jab. That's how, because I was looking at data that was coming out of the UK. Our own CDC was putting out very poor information. But United Kingdom, their version of the CDC called Public Health England, was putting out a document called Public Health England SARS-CoV-2 Variants of Concern. They were putting out a technical briefing every couple of weeks. And in technical briefing number 23, this dated 17 September of 2021, there was a table 5 in that document on pages 19 and 20 that showed hundreds of thousands of breakthrough cases of COVID amongst the fully vaccinated by the early fall of 2021. So I knew then from looking at the UK government's own data that hundreds of thousands of people were catching COVID and transmitting it even though they had had the jabs. So I thought it was unethical of Joe Biden to mandate the jabs on our population knowing that data. Plus also the Nuremberg Code was a clear violation of that, right? Informed consent. So for ethical reasons, for the pure data reasons, because I'm a data-driven guy, I'm a mathematician by trade, I'm an electrical engineer and a mathematician, I said I'm not taking the jab. So then I retired early, and that gave me the time to do this worldwide and vulnerable blood clot survey. I've got family members who've taken the jabs and friends, and I'm wondering, are they in danger from these white fibrous clots and this microclotting and all these other issues,
myocarditis,
turbo cancers, miscarriages, you know, that have been all showing up after people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. So,
yeah. So what would, if someone listening to this, what would they do, Tom, what would they do to possibly detect any of this in their, system?
Yeah, doctors like Peter McCullough and others, Dr. Pierre Corey, they're advising people who suspect they may have clotting issues to go get what's called their D-dimer levels checked. Capital D-D-I-M-E-R, D-dimer levels. That checks for clotting in the blood. Your physician may also suggest some other tests as well. Symptoms could be like shortness of breath, chest pains, extreme fatigue. You know, you get tired easily during working out. That means you may not be getting good exchange of oxygen in the blood system, right? It could be due to clotting issues. So if people suspect they have the clotting, they can also go to Peter McCullough. Dr. Peter McCullough, the famous cardiologist, has a website. He suggests there's a combination of some natural supplements that can be taken. They've not had any randomized control trial yet to determine whether to prove whether these things work or not. But he's shown some good promise in his patients that have had clotting issues. I think the ingredients are natokinase, bromelain, and curcumin. If you go to Dr. Peter McCullough's website, you can check that out for yourself. And also see what the suggested daily dosage amounts are. Those they're all provided over the counter as well. You can go buy them from Amazon too, if you don't want to buy them from Peter McCullough's company that they sponsor. But I think every American owes it to themselves to be vigilant about any potential clotting issues that they think they might be having. Because, you know, embalmers, like I said, are finding these things in a high percentage of their corpses. So I suspect they may be in a high percentage of the people that are walking around that could be ticking time bombs.
The spike protein, you mentioned something like that off record here. Talk a little bit about spike protein, what's going on.
Yeah, what's interesting about that, Ian, is in 2020, some of the embalmers said they did see these white fibrous clots forming in the year 2020. And that makes sense because the virus, the COVID virus itself, has a spike protein on the surface. And we believe that spike protein can lead to the formation of these amyloid or misshaped or misfolded proteins that then become hard for our body to break down. You know, we all have that natural enzyme plasmin that breaks down normal clotting, but if the clot is misshapenly folded, then it can, it becomes difficult for that clot to be broken down. With the advent of the vaccines, though, the scientists I've talked to believe that's been supercharged by the advent of the vaccines, because now that shot was supposed to stay in your upper arm, right? Produce just enough of the spike protein to elicit an immune response for just a couple days to a week, and then its job was done and had you ready for COVID. But we know now that's not what happened at all. That shot goes all over your body, turns your whole body into a spike protein factory. They found it doing that for months at a time, not just a few days to a week. So the scientists I talked to, you know, they think that it supercharged the formation of these white fibrous clots that then stroke you out or give you a heart attack. So this is a serious business. Scientists, by the way, they're looking all around the world trying to figure out the mechanism for why this is happening. One of the theories that's out there is there's a paper that came out of Cambridge University a few months ago about a process called frame shifting. Our bodies have ribosomes in them, and when the modified RNA from the vaccine gets inside your cell, it's brought in by the small lipid nanoparticles. They're like a Trojan horse. They bring the mRNA, the modified RNA from the vaccine, inside your cell. And then whatever function that cell used to do is now gone. It's been taken over by the modified RNA from the vaccine. And what we believe is happening, or may be happening, is your ribosomes in your cells may be misreading the modified RNA code from the vaccine. It's different than the regular spike protein. The modified RNA has what's called pseudouridine in it. It's a synthetic version of uridine that's on the modified RNA strand. So as our ribosome reads that strand, basically what it does is the ribosomes read the strand and it converts whatever it reads into production of amino acids that then become proteins when they strain together. If what we believe is happening from this paper that came out of Cambridge University is that code is getting skipped about 10% of the time thanks to these pseudouridine portions of the code. So it's misreading the code about 10% of the time, and it's producing what's called aberrant or nonsense proteins that then could be of any length. And Dr. Arne Burkhardt, the late doctor from Germany, he studied a sample of the clots, and he found 139 different types of protein in the clots of various sizes. So that's kind of confirmation that this frame-shifting theory may be correct, that about 10% of the time our bodies, our ribosomes, are producing nonsense or aberrant proteins that could be the source of this amyloid protein material that we're finding building up in your veins and arteries.
Yeah.
Serious business. But that's not confirmed yet, but scientists are still looking at it. There's other theories around the world as well, but that's one of the most credible ones at this time.
How do you get the word out here? Do you self-fund, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm retired now, so I've taken no money for this. I don't want to be tainted by any money, so I'm doing this all on my own dime because I love humanity. And also, I'm curious myself. I want to know the answer for myself. What's causing this? You know, we think the evidence is pretty solid. It's due to the vaccines. I'd still like to understand the mechanism for how it's happening. But you just can't get by the fact that embalmers are seeing this all around the world. Like I said, 70% plus of the embalmers are seeing this in 20% of their corpses. They're seeing the microclotting in 25% of their corpses. And it's horrendous what's happening. So, because here's what's happening. The big pharma is not stopping. They're producing more of these mRNA-based lipid nanoparticle technology shots. They're planning on coming out next year with a flu vaccine, RSV vaccine, a shingles vaccine, all using this same technology. And if this technology is what's causing these clots, we've got a major problem on our hands, right? Moderna has 40 of these mRNA-based shots in the pipeline to bring out over the next few years on not just hundreds of millions of people, but billions of people on the planet. They want to pump it into your arm. So we need to know before we let them do that, are these vaccines really safe, or are they causing these tremendous clotting problems as well as turbo cancers, myocarditis, miscarriages, nerve damage, right? This is serious business.
Thomas, thanks for getting the word out about this and doing what you're doing. What are some final thoughts that you have?
Well, final thoughts is I've been very dejected at the lack of movement by our Congress, with a few exceptions of people like Senator Ron Johnson, Rand Paul, has been very hard on Anthony Fauci, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a few others. Very few people have made this a top priority. And it needs to be one because we've had 10%.
Rand Paul knows about this?
He knows about this. I've gotten and so does Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've gotten information to them. So is RFK Jr. I'm in contact with all these people. But, you know, we've had 10% excess mortality in the United States over the last 3 years. And I think a lot of it is due to these vaccines and the effects like these white fibrous clots. The reason people are not that alarmed at the individual level is they don't see it in their daily lives. 10% excess mortality to the individual means maybe instead of seeing 11 people die this year, or 10 people die this year, you see 11 people dying, right? That's 10% excess mortality. Are you really going to notice 11 people dying this year versus 10 dying last year? Not really, right? So it's subtle at the individual level. But when you aggregate it up to mass populations, we're a country of 300 million people. Before COVID came along, about 3 million of us died every year. 10% excess mortality is 10% of 3 million. That's 300,000 extra Americans dying every year. So when you aggregate the death up to large populations, then you see the astronomical numbers, 300,000 extra Americans dying every year. We think that over around the globe, there's been an estimate of 17 million over the last 3 years around the world that have died from the vaccines. Yeah, from this, myocarditis, miscarriages,
effects, various effects.
Turbo cancers, exactly.
Various effects of the vaccine.
But I think this is one of the largest causes because, like I said, the embalmers are seeing this in such a high percentage of their corpses.
Is there any particular organization that's collecting this data in particular?
Steve Kirsch and the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. I provide information to Steve as well, and he knows about this. I was on his show about a month ago, getting the word out. So God bless Steve and the other people that are trying to bring this to the forefront. And thank you. No, Steve's in California. Steve's a multimillionaire. He was the inventor of the optical mouse. So you don't have to use a quartered mouse because of Steve. So,
like a Bluetooth.
But he's turned humanitarian, and he's devoted the last 3 years of his life to talking about how bad the vaccines are injuring and killing people around the world.
Okay. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Thomas, thanks for joining the show, discuss the truth, and I look forward to staying in touch with you.
Absolutely, Ian. Thank you.